Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my radio listeners. This is Getting It Right with Dr. Bowles. I hope everyone is doing well. I tried to get this particular airing up a little bit ahead of schedule. I used to do it a week in advance, and I was able to get at least a day in advance. So I hope if I have listeners out there who would love to join in to this conversation, I would love to have you. If you had a chance to see the marquee, I titled today's talk, Disguised Social Injustice and Malice in the USA. And that topic may draw some question marks. What I'm referring to is a larger story than what was broken about 2 days ago, where a senior epidemiologist at the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, Dr. William Thompson, came out and was very contrite, saying he feels complicit to a lie that was presented to the United States Congress this summer of 2014. He went on to be more explicit, saying that the vaccines that were given to African children was doctored when they gave in the report, that they were able to link, now I'm going to say it slowly, link autism, the development of autism in children, because of the vaccines they were given. Now, this has been a controversial topic in the United States for the last 15 years, and it wasn't until a Senate's son, it developed autism, and there was a settlement that they finally took out a mercury additive, which all it did was extend shelf life of the vaccine out of the product. Now, you may remember this. It was thimerosal. Well, guess what? Thimerosal is allowed to be in vaccines given to children outside of these United States. Well, in this report, Dr. Thompson says that the study showed, now this just gives me chills, that vaccines given to children under the age of 36 months, in other words, from birth to 3 years old, it increased the risk of autism by 69%. Now, these are to children like Mediterraneans or Iraqians, Assyrian children. But in black children, the risk of autism tripled to a scary 240%. I want everybody just to take a moment. You say, well, what is 240%? That's 2.5 times. Not less than 100%, but 2.5 times more likely that a child who receives this vaccine will develop autism. Well, really quick after the article had acknowledged this, they said the Obama administration granted Dr. Thompson the whistleblowing status, granting him immunity, meaning he can testify, but he cannot be considered guilty of the crime of literally killing the future of children, because autism can create a very low functioning, or if the person can function, it's a very specialized interaction that's required. I do have a guest today. I want to welcome Cassandra Bell-Gash to the show again. She is my person who has discussed a number of times of what is social justice, and today I'm inviting her to come on board and talk about what I think is obvious social injustice. But before I go any further, I'm going to say hello, Cassandra, and let you speak for yourself. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Dr. Bowles. I'm doing well. In listening to those numbers that you're presenting, the information is staggering. It's really staggering, and it's unfortunate. In dealing with autism or any type of disorder or disability in children, it is a profound responsibility that we, the professional, have to make sure that we provide good best practices and be informed before we execute any type of treatment recommendations or any type of treatment therapeutic interventions, because the impact can be lifelong, and it can impact not just the child or the person in question, but a whole community as well. So that information that you're just providing is just a little bit overwhelming for me right now.
Well, the thing that I did see that was remiss from the article, they never gave numbers. They didn't tell me how many thousands or 10,000s or 100,000s or millions were affected. I know that immunization campaign has been going on for almost 30 years, maybe a little longer, trying to eradicate the world of such diseases as polio, trying to alleviate the miseries of malaria. So the cause or the ideal is wonderful, but it looks like there is some malice, intentional perpetrators involved in what would first look like a benevolent act that in fact has some hidden or, as I said, disguised prejudicial intent. I also on the marquee pointed out that earlier than this admission by our CDC official, there was a group of persons in Kenya. Now, these were the Kenyans, or Africa is the country of Kenya, who were to be involved with the vaccination program, and they had a heads up. Instead of just taking vaccine given to them and rushing off to immunize their young people, they evaluated it. They did a quality control check. And in this check, they were able to uncover another hidden situation, that the vaccine did contain, I think they were trying to vaccinate against tetanus. The vaccine was a tetanus shot, as it promised, but also it had a component that shouldn't have been in it. Now, those who may not be as savvy about immunization and medicine, whenever you give someone a shot of a bacteria or virus, your intent is for them to make antibodies against this bacteria or virus. And when their mosquito bites them or they end up cutting themselves on a nail in the case of tetanus, I get it right in a few minutes, they will have immunity already built up.
Okay.
So if they give you something like HCG, which is the human chorionic gonadotropin, a big mouthful, but it is a hormone that is necessary for a woman to keep her pregnancy. Any woman who has had multiple miscarriages will know the heartbreak of knowing you have a life inside and then you lose it. And if I were a doctor evaluating such a patient, I would be watching that person's HCG. Because HCG allows the baby not to be detected in the uterus. In other words, the body will not get rid of it if HCG is high enough. And any woman who's taking a pregnancy test, that's what she's doing. She literally is measuring the presence, when you first find out you're pregnant, of HCG. It says, wow, I must have a baby in my body because my body is making this hormone. Well, if this hormone is injected in your body during an immunization campaign and you create an antibody against it, you will not be able to keep a pregnancy because your body will keep HCG low, continuously low, such that anytime you get pregnant, you would miscarry. And this was a component intentionally added to tetanus vaccine. And a group of doctors in Kenya was able to identify this fearless addition before they started their immunization campaign. Now, they don't say, did they go after whoever gave them the immunization? Does it say, was there criminal charges? Nothing more than they discovered it in time is the way the write-up was. But the intent is unquestionable. It says that vaccines were intended to be administered to 2.3 million girls and women. 3 million girls and women. So someone knowingly, willfully, with intent, was going to inoculate young women and women of age, childbearing age, such that they would be rendered sterile for life without their knowledge and without their intent. So if you look through the history of medicine, America has a pretty ugly track record when it comes to the treatment of retarded patients and people of color. So given that added information, Cassandra, what would you have to say?
Well, it looks like, in my opinion, that people who have the know-how and the power abused it. And I think that's what injustice is about, that those who have power or that those who have means use it for ill intent against those who are helpless and hopeless. because someone, whoever put together the vaccinations, they knew what it entailed, and they decided that these women, for whatever reason, were poverty stricken, did not need to reproduce because it would be too costly for the country. So they were already in need, so they don't have, they should not have an opportunity to populate.
Well, there's another term for that in social terms. It's called genocide. And when I look at the very high position the Americans have taken when it comes to genocide, Muammar Gaddafi, who was killed by the American, pilotless plane, their drone, he was killed with his daughters and grandchildren while he was in his complex. And the reason it was justified that you could send this unmanned aircraft stealthily in and kill this particular person is he had committed genocide, that he had done such atrocious humankind things that purportedly had used biowarfare to kill different sects of people. Look at Hussein. They went after him, and he was hiding out in tunnels as the Americans went after him, charging with similar genocide and humanity crimes. So I have to pause, Cassandra, and say I'm at loss that here we as a powerful country can point to those we feel are committing these great crimes against humanity, and then have someone to confess that, if you read the story, and I didn't give the reference, perhaps I should have, but he went into great detail of how they intentionally left out all data that was that had black children in it, that all the statistics compiled intentionally left things out. And anyone who does science, and I'm teaching a course this semester and I have to smile, the first thing that I told them that in science you have to have evidence. Opinion can't count, that you can't preconceive an idea and report it as an outcome. And here the largest scientific institution in the world, the Center for Disease Control, travels all around the world to help ferret out what's the causes. And anytime someone wants to get the ultimate decision, they talk about we went to CDC, that here is an institution that's intention is to be ferreters of truth, to identify causes of disease, and it is in their hands that they're manipulating data and reporting what they wanted Congress to hear rather than what was the reality of their actions. I mean, it had already been a debate that this I was very upset, Cassandra, and you'd have probably no reason to be, but it was about the time I was fresh out of medical school and still felt like the American way and everything is great and I'm Miss Pollyanna to, you know, things. This is, couldn't be. Americans wouldn't do this. This isn't how we do it. When they first started connecting vaccine to autism. Mm-hmm. And it went before Congress. It went before Senate. It wasn't to some very high-ordered senator or Congress child was affected, and this person went before Congress, made a very definitive statement, you know, my child was okay, and they couldn't reference that he came from the ghetto. They couldn't reference that mom was schizophrenic, or dad was an alcoholic. Here they had this very high-performing upper middle class, arguing that the only factor that could have introduced autism in her son was a vaccine, and they got paid. But in other places in the communities where schools, keep in mind, mandate, this is a big deal, American schools mandate that you have, as we call them, your shots. So the American people never really have a choice. Your child will not get into public school if you do not present an immunization card. So when they went to Congress and argued that you have a component in this vaccine, it has nothing to do with the vaccine. So this is what the worrisome thing is. The thimerosal, which is a mercury compound, and it's thimerosal, for those who want to find thimerosal is the compound they put into the vaccine, it's a mercury. Mercury is a poison. The reason they put it in, and this is what's funny, is to stop bacteria from growing in the vaccine. So if you're putting something in there that will kill a bacteria, and then that same component is being introduced in your two-month-old baby without your knowledge, or your brand-new newborn, because newborn babies in the United States get a hepatitis B shot.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were able to prove that one of the manufacturers, I think it was a major pharmaceutical company hierarchy, like a CEO, excuse me, a CFO, had written in an email to his granddaughter, to his daughter for his grandson, he said, do not allow my grandson to get this vaccine. So when they uncovered that he had talked to a loved one to prevent his baby, his own bloodline, from getting the immunization of something that is mandated, so that's the egregious part. It's different if I elect to do it. But if you make me do it, and then you find out that what you're making me do can harm my child, then you need to be held liable, in my opinion. So long story short, Congress admitted, yes, Thimisoral can cause problems. Hey, America, we have refrigeration. We have all the things we need that you don't need to add this to the vaccines of the United States. But look how limiting that is, Cassandra. If they knew it caused harm, why allow the pharmaceutical companies to keep it in there and administer to anybody's child? If you don't want it given to yours, how can you say, yeah, go ahead and take it to Africa? Go ahead and take it to Malaysia. Go ahead and take it to Nicaragua. And then knowingly, because this is 15 years out from the time it went before the United States Senate, I remember the hearing. Now here we are in 2015, finally someone with a conscience, this is a senior epidemiologist. He wasn't a junior. He wasn't in the trenches. This is someone who probably, like me, was very aware of the original debates and aware of the decisions made, and now seeing what was decided to be the risk come to fruition. Now I ask the question, what is that? I mean, to me, that is a act against humanity.
It is. And it seems to me that we still have those persons who get value lives of human beings that they believe are beneath them. And third world countries or countries where individuals are predominantly individuals of color, he has still second class individuals, second class, third class humans. And so with that school of thought, with that type of thinking, then the modality in which they practice,
well, see, I'm at loss to say, how is that not a crime against humanity, that you took what you knew was a poison,
right,
and flew across the world and administered to the vulnerable people who are depending on you for help? I don't see that could be any different than Hussein or Gaddafi. It is a whole generation of people. When you tell me that it was 240%, I mean, how is that different from open fire? You knew it could cause it. You go and you prove it. And then you prove it by these big numbers. I'm sure the reason they didn't report how many people were involved, it would really come to numbers like we saw during Hitler's time. Because now we can get to so many people so much faster. And if you tell me that you knew and you did that much harm, I don't know how a country can give you immunity. I would think that would be a world outcry. But if you think that's bad enough, and you're going to say, wait, Dr. Bowes, I didn't know we had all this, I have a third report. April of 2015. Now, I know there's a number of countries that have proclaimed polio to no longer be a threat. And what that means, if you don't know from a medical point of view, it means they have not had a case of polio. And I know in the United States we have samples purportedly in a vault somewhere where if we should need to revaccinate the American people, we can. But there has not been a case of polio in just a tremendous long time. So we can announce polio does not exist in the United States. And about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a call out to people like Bill Yates and others with big money coming in on a regular basis to help eradicate the world of polio. So April 2015, there's this massive polio immunization campaign going on, and because of what has been uncovered with the tetanus and what has been admitted with other vaccines, there was an independent group looked at the polio immunization. And lo and behold, they had some dirty polio vaccine that someone who was supplying the vaccine, this was uncovered April 2015, had spiked the vaccine with estradiol. Now, estradiol is a normal, healthy hormone in young women. That's what transfers a young woman from being a little girl into hormonal active female. She does ovulation, she has menstrual cycles, she develops breasts, she can bear children. So you say, well, why would they put estradiol in a vaccine? Okay. As you may or may not know, the vaccine for polio can go orally. They just put drops in your mouth. They don't have to inject it in your skin. So that made it much easier to administer. But we know that if you're following Bruce Jenner's story, Caitlyn, Bruce Jenner's alter ego, is a female. And the way in which men who want to be women become women is they take estradiol. They will grow breasts. They will stop growing a beard. Their voices will get less baritone and so forth. So by introducing estradiol into a vaccine that can be consumed with both young women and men, predominantly preschool kids, you are with great intent doing two things. You are stopping the men from the potential of childbirth because high levels of estradiol renders the sperm incapable of fertilizing an egg. It also can create gender questions. The effeminization that I just talked about, development of breasts, the softening of the voice, can in some cases also give some gender ambiguity. Now, whether or not it can cause a person to change their inclination from male to female is not known, but you can certainly get the outer appearance of a man to be effeminate. And take it one step further, high dose of estradiol can increase breast cancer. So, here we are. We are a nation of benevolence. We're going to, like Bill Gates has this major institution in Seattle, Washington, that is an international vaccine center. He pays for the generation of various vaccines. He sponsors a number of people who go over and administer these vaccines. And then we find out this is going on. Wow. So from a point of view, and I know you are versed both in ministry as well as counseling, when I look at it from just a moral point of view, that when you willfully, you know, in America we call it premeditated, when you design and premeditate another's harm, it just to me seems that's a more evil, a more unethical thing than if it's an accident. You know, if it's a contamination and you find out along the way with everybody else, that's bad. You were sloppy and quality control was off. But if you orchestrate it, I'm just going to ask you, Cassandra, given that platform, maybe not the news and the depth that I've presented it, talk to me from the point of view what someone who is aware of ministry and has a sense of empathy and the occupation of counseling would say to a nation that can perpetrate what we've described today?
I believe in karma. I believe that we inevitably get back from the universe what we put out. I believe that the problems that we face today as a society is based on, for lack of a better word, the sins of our forefathers. If you have a child who is full of hate, and rage, and they become a perpetrator as an adult. In the field of counseling, what we do is a history. I love doing genograms. I love sitting with folks and having them trace and track their family origin. And what you'll see is that there are certain patterns that exist. And so that's why I say that we have to be mindful of the things that we partake in and the things that we allow and the things that we support. And we use the word benevolence. I, at one time in my life, believed in doing a lot of ministry outside of the country as far as supporting the efforts of other missionaries, and did not think about the needs that were happening exactly in my own family or right next door. So we all have a responsibility if we have the money, if we're able to get reach beyond the community that we live in, or you reach beyond the country that you live in to help facilitate growth and development in the area that he has chosen to do so. But yet we have a responsibility to make sure that what we're doing is effective and that we're giving aid and not harm. And so I've learned the hard way that not all of my good intentions gave good results. And that's probably the worst thing that you can do, and the worst thing that you have to learn to contend with is when you meant no harm and you provided. Then we have a professional and a person in the area and a ethical responsibility on the court.
Well, as I was thinking, is sometimes, and I heard you give the personal testimony that, yes, sometimes in our own midst we have issues, but what I've come to learn, and this has been hard-earned to learn, is that we can be sometimes the worst administrators for assistance to those closest to us. That if the it's kind of like what they teach us as physicians, you don't treat your own family. You can't go in and do surgery or do, unless it's just an absolute necessity, you try not to be the one administering care to someone you know intimately. And I think on a social scale, that's also true. We talked a little bit about toxic stress or traumatic stress last week.
My thinking was more so it can be done indirect. You know, one of the techniques that I employ that I do and I encourage the things that I work with, modeling. You can impact and affect someone intimate, close to them, simply by them mimicking, being mindful of that. So the conversations you have, the things that you partake in. So no, it's not appropriate for me to directly counsel a relative. But I can mimic and show some things that would motivate or that should motivate them to grasp the concept about what it means to be humane, what it means to be humane, what it means to reach out to another individual as opposed to creating an atmosphere of.
That's absolutely true. But I read something, and believe it or not, we're at the last minute of the show. I read something I want to share with you, Cassandra, as well as the listeners. It was saying, a good measure of your action or my action is how long the good lasts. And I read that the first time, and I smiled, and I said, okay, a measure of my actions is how long the good lasts.
Wow.
And I thought that was rather telling. Yeah, isn't that powerful? That I
feel
all the
it
good.
Is.
I've had people in other ways saying you have to want to receive it, or you have to want to do this or that. And I had to learn that I could not want something more than the person I was trying to help. So
exactly.
With
exactly.
That, Cassandra, I'm going to say thank you again for what seems like a very brief dynamic, and I thank you, my listening audience, for joining me, and I look forward to next time when we're getting it right with Dr. Bowles. Take care.